Blog Talk Radio.
Glory be to God. Glory be to God.
No matter how I'm left, I'll be there by your side.
Jesus never leaves us alone. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. No matter the weather, no storm lasts forever, but His love does.
Hello and praise the Lord, everybody. This is Pastor Dean Judkins of Holy Ghost Fire Church, along with Pastor Charlie Sims of Holy Ghost Fire Church. Welcome to this week's radio show. Pastor Charlie, how are we doing tonight?
We're doing good. Can't really complain.
We're good. Yeah, really. Complaining wouldn't be a good thing. Well, I'm excited about tonight's show. We're going to be talking with Brother James Cross, who was actually, believe it or not, a professional rapper, and he was going to sign with Sony, but backed out at the last second, and that intro that we've been using the last couple of weeks is actually a song that he did for our radio show. What do you think about that, Charlie?
That's interesting.
So we are going to hear some interesting things here. He's going to be, he was in a gang, he's been in prison, he's got incredible testimony. So what do you think, Charlie? Should we bring him on now?
Yeah, let's bring him on and let's see what he's got to say.
All right. So without further ado, welcome James Cross. James, brother, we are live on the air. How you doing, my friend?
Blessed and grateful, brother. Blessed and grateful. How y'all doing?
We are doing wonderful. Wonderful. I don't know about you, James. I'm excited. I'm excited to hear your testimony, some of the things that God's doing. We played your music for our intro. We've been doing that the last couple of shows. And this man who we're speaking to right now is the man that actually wrote and did this song for us. And for that, James, I just want to say thank you, brother. That was quite a blessing.
Hey, all glory be to God, brother, because I'm nothing without Him. It's an honor to have it be played, to be appreciated, and so, you know, God can receive the glory. You know, it's profound, man. It means a lot.
Amen. Now, James, I haven't known you too long, but you and I have been communicating for the last couple of weeks, and from what I do know about you, you're full of passion, which I love. You tell it the way it is, which I know Charlie and I both do that. We love that. You're the real deal. And, you know, we know that we're not perfect. We make mistakes. But, man, we have a heart after God. Would you say that that's true?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So we are going to give you the floor now, my friend. And I'm excited to hear about your story. I know there are a lot of people that are anxious to hear about your story. And every once in a while, we may jump in and ask a question. Pastor Charlie may jump in and ask a question. And sometimes we interrupt when we do that because we don't, you know, we just go with the flow. So forgive us for that. But without, where are you from exactly? Well, not exactly. What state do you live in, James?
Well, I live in South Carolina right now. I was born and raised on the south side of Chicago. From the beginning up to speed. You know, I was, like I said, I was only white-faced on the south side of Chicago. My mom raised me in the hood, being an addict herself, you know, house to house. I probably went to, I don't know, maybe 50 different schools before I was 14, which at that age was around between 13 and 14 was the first time that I had caught my first charge. Being born drug addicted to crack cocaine, I always was just out there. You know, I always got in a lot of trouble. I failed, you know, grades many times. You know, of course, as being, you know, transferred from school to school, now I realize it was hard for me to adapt. But through that, I met a lot of different people and I experienced a lot of different things. And as I said, at the age of 14, I was incarcerated for stealing cars. That's what I got caught for. And there was, you know, as I did this time, you know, a young white kid, you know, though I was raised in an urban area, when, you know, when you go to jail, even in these juvenile jails, your street credibility, that's a race. They don't know who you are. It's just a bunch of wild teens. So I had to, you know, fight to survive. I got in a lot of trouble the first couple of years I was there, and actually doubled the time that I had there by catching set time from fighting and doing all this. And then this was the first time that really as a child, a teenager, I accepted Jesus Christ. A pastor had came and to do a church service, and I refused to come out of myself. I actually did a song about this. His name was Pastor Tony Trotter from Chicago Heights, Illinois. And he came in there, and he had the COs open the cell, and I'll never forget it. He reached out his hand. And, you know, now I understand the profoundness of what was going on, but at that time I didn't. He reached out his hand, and he said, come on. You know, and as I came out the cell, he started asking me questions and asking me to explain why I was there, what I went through. And I didn't realize it, but again, now I do. I was testifying. I was telling these kids what I had been through, what I was doing, and what I did. And as I was doing this, I began to break down a little bit, feeling emotional and whatnot. But then he had a quote-unquote altar call there in the cell block. And all of a sudden, I seen all these kids coming up, accepting Jesus Christ. And I didn't understand it, you know, we all did it. And I started, you know, he talked with me afterwards. I was a Latin King, which is a big, gang organization all over the United States of America. And at that point, after this, this is the first time I decided to quote unquote drop my flags, is what they call it, you know, disown the gang, just go my own way. And because I made that decision in jail, I faced a lot of resistance, fighting and, you know, attacks and whatnot. But I didn't give up, you know. Fast forward a little bit, I got out. I stayed out of trouble for a little while. While I was in there, I got certification as a certified fitness trainer to do personal training. I got out and tried getting jobs in all these gyms. I stayed clean for probably about a year. And after that, I kept on getting rejected and everything, and the pressure got hard, and I went back to the street. And this was when it really got serious, because as I returned to my sin, it was even worse than it was before. I ended up getting shot, stabbed, just the numerous things that I went through and put other people through. My crime sprees got worse. I began to do more elaborate things and involved in shootings and homicides and just trafficking, all kinds of stuff. And this was even, like I said, all these times, I didn't even do this music at all. I was a drug dealer, a gangbanger, and an addict. That's what I did. You know, I also got involved in prostitution. It was bad. We had a legal service where we provided these women, and as I was just getting deeper in this and deeper in this and, you know, making this money that, quote unquote, I felt was my goal and what was going to make me happy. I purchased my first house at the age of 25. I had the American dream at 25, a house paid for, Cadillac, cars, bikes, a studio downtown, Al Capone Spice Factory, started this music as a producer. And then I seen how I could bring these artists together and do this stuff. And all of a sudden, we're getting all these different offers and everything. Then, at the time all this stuff's happening, my life, my personal life is falling apart, and I'm losing things piece by piece, you know, cars, friends, business things, you know, getting locked up, losing money, you know, contacts, and people that I know are getting murdered and killed and locked away in fed time. It was just getting crazy. Which drove me back into addiction again. And again, as you return, it gets worse every time. You know, the dog that returns to his vomit will be destroyed. And that's on the path that I was on. until I had a incident with my twin's mother where she called my daughter a foul name, and we got into a verbal argument. She tried to stab me and kill me. Police got called. I ended up, you know, being removed from the house. After this, I knew that I had to do something different. And the point where I was at rock bottom. I couldn't help myself. I couldn't do nothing for my kids. And I chose to remove myself from my family. And I ended up down south in South Carolina and was clean for a while, then went back again. Got into the music again, the secular music. Started doing studio time and got on the radio again and was creating this buzz. Next thing you know, Sony's talking and sending out reps, and they sent a producer. They wanted me to do these songs. I was working on them, and then at that time, God sent a missionary. And this man pulled up in my driveway, didn't know me from a can of paint. And he pulled up and had my CD, was telling me how awesome it was. Now, this is secular music, but there was these two songs that I did. One of them was called Calm Down. The hook was like, calm down, take a minute to think, matter of fact, maybe two, what's the rush? Caught up in the fast life, never know who to trust, calm down. And he was like, this song right here has a message to it that could change your generation. If you did all your music like this, imagine what kind of impact you could do. And I'm thinking this guy like, okay, whatever, this is not what I do. I cuss like a truck driver. I was sitting there. I had a gun in the back of my pants, you know. And I'm contemplating, you know, pulling it out to get him out my driveway. He didn't understand the level of where I was at, but at the same time, now I understand that he understood something that I did. He was sent there for a mission, and so I ended up going to church, got saved, quit drinking. That was September 1st of 2013, and since then. You know, I've never looked back. The difference was is as I was becoming a believer, I had this overwhelming sense to share it. So that's when I took it the next step and got ordained as a pastor, did the certified disaster relief chaplaincy through the Church at Work, which is an awesome organization that just trains everyday regular people who the world will count out to be wonderful and powerful men and women of God to serve, you know, during the trying times, such as the disasters that we're facing in this world today, hurricanes, floods, different things, you know, power outages, even car wrecks, whatever, wherever we're at, whatever we're doing, we're ready to serve. It's been a long road. I've been through a lot, but I know that everything that I went through has been preparation to make me who I am now, to be able to relate and truly sympathize with almost everybody I meet because of everything that I've been through. And it's an amazing gift, but, you know, to whom much is given, much is expected. And there are many times where I fall short. I do my best to stay transparent and, you know, let people know that I am far from perfect, but being perfectly trained, and he who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. So, therefore, I stand firm the best that I can each and every day.
Amen. Now, we had talked earlier, you and I have talked a couple times on the telephone, and you had told me about when you were going to sign with Sony. Tell the story briefly about the Illuminati and the ties in with Sony, if you would.
Well, I mean, in the music industry, you know, those that know the industry, I was a consultant. I used to work for the record labels to get artists to come to see the reps to get signed. So I had a little bit of a background on it, and, you know, I've seen the wickedness. You know, when you have, you know, we could use Justin Bieber for an example. You know, the kid was, you know, a Disney kid. He had the likable face, all this stuff. But they use those images like that to portray, you know, and sell sex, drugs, glorifying, you know, this fallen world, period. You know, and it's, you know, and that's what was funny is with this deal, if I would have accepted this, I would not have been able to speak on Jesus. I would not have been able to make the songs that I make now. They wanted to transform me into this image and this artist that they wanted to sell, you know. And I God placed it on my heart so heavy, you know. Many people turned their back on me when I made that decision. They called me a fool. They said, you know, you're a gangster rapper. This is what you do. What are you talking about? You know, but at the time, I didn't understand. I knew that there was something inside of me that just wouldn't let me make the move. I had this over, it was almost overnight, I will say. When I was baptized and I came up off that water, I'm going to tell you something. I began to die to self on a level that most people will never comprehend. That's why I'm so passionate about, you know, look, if you're in street ministry and you're doing this spiritual rap, you know, don't use these hand signs. Don't portray yourself as these characteristics in what you did in your street life. If you're doing that, you're not dying to self. And Christ can't live within. Like I was saying earlier, two things can't occupy the same space at one time. Something's got to die.
Amen.
And with that, you know, we, you know, as Christians and followers of Jesus, we need to die to self so we can live within. You know, and it's not easy. You know, that's what I tell some of these guys. Oh, well, you're too hard. You know, talking about the hat turn. Well, you know what? I've seen kids get their head shot off because of the way their hat was turned. I've seen people get shot over just shaking a hand and using a hand sign. So, you know, in the streets and where we live today, you know, and it's not just in the hoods anymore. These acts of violence and things are making their way to the suburbs. They're making their way to small towns, and like I told you before, that the scripture, you know, he who misleads the little causes the little ones who believe in me to stumble is better off with a millstone tied around their neck and tossed in the sea. We have to lead these children. We have to lead the youth in a way that they will prosper and grow in Christ, you know, and teach them not to be lukewarm.
Amen. Amen. Now, you had mentioned something about you had offers in the Christian music field as well.
Yeah, I've sent a lot of different music out, to a lot of different of these Christian labels. But at the same time, what I realized, I there ain't no way around it. I mean, Reach Records, Lecrae and them, you know, when I seen issues arising within their label, within their artists, of, you know, working with secular artists and doing things like that, I don't want to be a part of it. If I wanted to be lukewarm, I would have signed with Sony and just did my thing. So I'm waiting independently and patiently for a godly label to come forward and realize, you know, hey, this is a guy that rap, writes, sings, produces, all in his house, glory be to God. You know, it's nothing fancy, but it's quality. And my heart's in it, you know. And, you know, if they see the value in that and how we can enrich the kingdom and not, you know, some you know, a pyramid thing, somebody at the top is just raking it all in, then I'm willing to do something, you know. But until then, I mean, I gave up that $1 million dream. I don't seek $1 million anymore. I just want peace and to be able to provide for my family and help those in need, you know.
Amen. Amen. Charlie, any questions for brother?
No, the only thing was about when he was involved in contact in these Christian ministries. I would like for him to elaborate on that just a little bit more, because I've known some people that were related to the music industry, and having observed Christian music for 44 years, it bothers me that it is so lukewarm, so watered down. So ethereal, so to speak, and they don't mention the name of Jesus Christ. They talk about
Amen.
All kinds of things,
right,
but Jesus Christ. They don't talk about being washed in the blood. The old hymns have tremendous things in them that I don't hear in the contemporary Christian music. It's very disappointing.
Amen. You're correct too. You know, and what's awesome, I love you said the perfect word. You said washed in the blood. I have a song called Washed in the Blood. I mean, and you know, that's what I feel the same way, which is why, you know, I in the beginning when I was on fire and I first got, you know, saved and everything, and I had this music together, I was sending stuff out all over the place, you know, through Reverb Nation, sent, you know, submitting all these different things to these different labels and stuff. But then I just began to just realize, well, you know what, I'm going to let God move. You know, I'm gonna keep my platform on Facebook. I'm gonna, you know, have the little set up the Instagram thing, and you know, post the things on YouTube, and just let God move through God's people. You know, and I'm gonna be honest. It doesn't matter to me whether I get signed or not. I have no. It's not my mission anymore to sign to some major label, because I'm completely content and happy making music in my house and having, you know, the few hundred people that love it, you know, get it and listen to it and share it. And it's simple, you know, and I think that's one of the things that a lot of these ministries, these street ministries, forget about, is Jesus's ministry was really simple. It wasn't a mega ministry. And at first, that's what I wanted my ministry to be. I wanted G-Code Music Ministry to be huge, to have a big building, to do all these huge things. But then I realized that was my vision. That's what I wanted. And my flesh began to take over. So I had to check myself, and I had to repent and realize that God gave me this gift. I need to do so as Jesus would, which is simple, right here at home, right where I'm at, affecting the people in my direct reach. And when God says to move and go outside of that, I do so, you know. But until he says to move, G-Code is sitting right here, and we'll be doing blog radio with y'all.
Now, what does G-Code stand for?
God's Code.
God's Code. I like
God's
that.
Code.
I see that you do that a lot
God's
on your
code.
Posts. Now, what is what is your PayPal? If you don't mind putting the information for the people who are listening and they want to bless this man of God here and help with his work that he's doing in promoting the gospel and reaching out to the gangs and the different people, could you tell the people the PayPal account for the people who would give you donations?
Yeah, sure. The PayPal account, our ministry PayPal is under James Bryson, Bryson, and the email, you can search through the email as well, which is poetrybusiness@gmail.com, and that's poetrybizznez@gmail.com. And we also, a part of another extension of our ministry is we have a kennel and rescue. Me and my wife have been doing this this rescue now in South Carolina for going on 6 years. We've rehomed and retrained over 100 dogs. You know, we deal with the ones that a lot of people don't want to deal with, the aggressive ones. You know, we take calls and go out in the neighborhood. I broke up dog fights. We've stitched them up and we, you know, get them healed, and then we find responsible owners for them, or those who, you know, can't be rehomed. We make a sanctuary here for them where they can just live out their days safely. You know, the scripture does say, have regard for our beasts, you know, and I've always been close to dogs. And it's a aspect of the ministry that is a daily part. You know, I wake up and I have 9 dogs that I take care of every single day, you know, and we do our best, but again, you know, it's just me and my wife. We don't have much local support, so it is a struggle, you know, it is a struggle. But anybody who's willing to assist and sow a seed in faith, I know you will be blessed in Jesus' name, that's for sure.
Amen. Amen. So if we were to ask you to come back periodically on the shows, maybe even, you know, talk about doing something together in ministry, would you pray on that and see if the Lord would maybe point you in that direction?
Amen, brother. That's, you know, just say the word, man. Just say the word. You know, prayer. I've prayed, like I told you before, when I first met you and was watching your feeds and your ministry and what you were doing, I prayed immediately on it, because there was something, there was a light that I seen and a strong, bold yet humble character. That I seen in you that I was attracted to, and you know, it'd be an honor to work with you on anything that God places in front of us, brother.
Amen. Amen. Well, I thank you for that, and you know, I bless God for Charlie. He's got me by 4 years in the ministry, but he's a lot wiser in the Lord than I am. But like I told people before, I'm the better looking one out of the two of us. So. there's nothing wrong with it. But no, I mean, I've been following you. My wife enjoys following your posts, James. You've got a good heart. Man, you've got passion. And that's the thing that Charlie and I love is we love people who have a passion for Jesus Christ. And that's what it's all about, man. Truth, Jesus Christ, Holy Ghost power. And
yes, sir.
Well, Charlie, we got about 4 minutes. Do you have anything else that you would like to add on here?
Well, I think James covered his testimony pretty good. Again, I agree with you. I think some at a little later time we need to have him back and let him reiterate a little bit more. I would encourage people that are listening tonight to please listen to tomorrow night's Bible teaching. I'm going to be dealing with the subject of adoption and sonship. It's an area that most pastors don't even know about, and most won't even touch it with a 40-foot pole because they see the things in a different light than what the Scriptures really teaches concerning this. So I would encourage people to really tune in tomorrow night, and if we don't do it in one session, we'll do it in two. But I think I can do it in one session tomorrow night. So it's going to be about adoption and sonship and what it really, really means so far as the Scriptures are concerned.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, James, it's been an honor and a privilege to talk with you. Your testimony is dynamite. I absolutely love it. And it's amazing how God can turn around a situation and use it all for His glory, is it not?
Right. I mean, It blows my mind. It truly does. It truly does. Absolutely does, you know. And one scripture before we leave that was placed on my heart heavy was Isaiah 30:18, and which has a lot to do with my testimony. And it says, and therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore he will be exalted that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is God of judgment. Blessed are all that wait for him. Now, that scripture is deep because it's like God was waiting for the people to repent before turning his judgment into mercy and restoration, which is huge in my life. And I know that this is something that everybody can take home and in their heart because of it, with their walk with Christ and what we face as far as, you know, our sin and what we deal with, we need to be in a state of repentance. You know, many say, oh, I don't do this or I don't do that. Well, what do you think? You know, we all have thoughts, and our thoughts are sinful. And, you know, we need to be aware of that so that way God can begin to turn his judgment into mercy and restoration, you know.
Amen. God, I don't mean to cut you off. Yeah, I don't mean to cut you off here, brother. We got about a minute 40. I want to end the show. I want to end the show with a song that you've done for us, and I want you to hear it. So we're going to wrap up the show with James' song that he used for our show here. Brother, thank you. Charlie, thank you. Thank you all for listening. We love you. And remember, Jesus is Lord. We're going to end with the music of James Cross.
Glory be to God.
Jesus never leaves us alone. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh. No matter the weather, no storm lasts forever. But his love does, his grace flows. Heart change, and love grows. Listen now, no matter the weather.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll see you Thursday show. We love you. And remember, Jesus is Lord. God bless.